Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Renee, glad you're here. We see you.
Yeah, got on, finally. Yeah, I'm good.
We got you in.
Thank you again.
You bet. All right, we have Jessica Debbie Sierra. Good. Christmas holiday. Sometimes we get a smaller group, but it looks like we got a few people, so that's fun. Welcome, one and all. One thing that we'll do today is I'll spend a few minutes orienting you around a particular tool that I call a RACI chart. You can learn more about this tool in module 4. Let's see. I don't remember which video it is. So I'm going to just jump in the program really quick here and let you know so that if you want to download a blank template or you want to make use of this tool. Hang on a second. Just takes me a second to get logged in. While we're sitting there, who's got anything they want to check in on this week? Any wins this week? Last week, I introduced you to how to have performance conversations with your team. Did anybody get a chance to put anything into practice, or did you make use of it over the last week or so? Or probably not because it was holiday break, but just in case, any wins, anybody had any experiences there?
Davia and I did a meeting with all of our team, and we used the tool, how you said, to have them email us back how they understood it. And I think it went really well. It really helped us and kind of pointed out some of the flaws and what people understood and how everyone, you know, basically understood what we were saying. It was a pretty small task, but we definitely really liked that tool.
Good, good. Glad to hear that. Anybody else? All right. So my computer seems slow today. Let's go to module 4. So in module 4, I'll be reviewing just a little bit of what you'll find in video 3 and 4. Those two videos we're going to just touch on a little bit. So if you want to go back and review, you can, or you can watch this training in the coaching section. The videos always go a little deeper than I go here, which is fine. So, hey, Allie, welcome.
Hey, did you ask a question? I thought I heard you say anyone else?
Yeah, I did. I was asking if anybody had a chance to make use of any of the tools we talked about last week around performance management and having performance conversations with your team. So
got it.
That's what we were talking about.
Not yet with the holiday.
Yeah, I figured. Okay, so today what we're going to talk about is the RACI chart. How many of you know what a RACI chart is?
I have no idea.
Okay, I see that nobody else's hand has gone up, so I'll assume that the rest of you don't, but Allie does, and it'll be of value to you, Allie, because I'm going to talk about, people may know what a RACI chart is. There's a specific way that I recommend it getting used, and so I'm going to introduce a lot of that today. So maybe you've had experiences where people are fighting for territory, or there's people who aren't clear on who's responsible for what, and job descriptions can only take you so far. Or maybe you have a kind of project that requires multiple hands touching it along the way. And a RACI chart is a really good way to clean up some people's understandings. And ultimately, a RACI chart is just simply a way to document an agreement. So what are the agreements for what we can expect of each other, and what rules and roles govern how we're going to behave on a given project or process? Some of you will find this way more useful than others. This is not a required tool. It's more like solution awareness. So if you're running into an issue down the road, you might be like, I wonder if the RACI chart could be useful. So I'm going to share my screen now and introduce you to what it stands for, what it means, how it works. So this is a sample RACI chart. Super exciting. I know it's really graphically pleasing. RACI simply stands for Responsible, Approve, Consult, or Inform. RACI. That's where we get the name RACI from. And the definitions are somebody who is responsible for initiating the action, which is distinct from the person who has the final approval over the action. So a very classic example of that is I have an administrative assistant, and that person is responsible for figuring out what flights are available when I have to travel to speak somewhere. But I am the one who approves which flights I will take. So, but I'm not responsible for finding and making it happen. They are, but I have the approval authority. And so no action can be taken until the person with the A can approve. Consult stands for I need to be consulted on something before you execute on it. But it doesn't mean that I have the authority to stop the decision from being made. So, excuse me. Let's say I'm in marketing and operations has decided to change some part of the product. And I have a whole marketing program that I've developed that's going to impact. And so before they make that change, they need to consult with me. Now, as a marketer, I don't get the say in whether or not they make the change to the product, but I should be made aware of it and I should get a chance to weigh in on, hey, maybe could we delay that a quarter because of this, that, and the other thing. And so I'm consulted. And the last one is informed. And informed is more like there's some project or task that I really don't care what you decide or what you do or when you do it or how you do it, but I definitely need to know that it's happened because once I know it, that initiates a particular workflow for me. And so that's someone needs to be informed. And then if there's a blank, it means they're completely out of the loop on purpose and their life goes on as it was. So what that looks like then is a RACI chart is designed like this. This is, by the way, an actual RACI chart I designed with a team of a whole lot of people. It was a real estate development company, and they found that their process for finding deals and doing deals and vetting deals was a mess. And they had been making bad decisions and people were frustrated and nobody knew who had authority to do what at what stage. So we sat down with the key players and we said, okay, what are the stages in a given process? What are those gateways, those decision points along the journey of some process or project? In this case, it's a development process for real estate. And then what are the roles that are involved that might touch that process? That's what's across the top. Not the people, the roles. So we're not talking personally about Shane and Allie. We're talking about the head of land acquisition, the VP of development, and the VP of construction. And we depersonalize this so that people understand when we play with power, we're not playing with whether we trust you personally or whether you personally should have that, but rather, does your role require that you need this thing to do your job? And the reason we do that is because anytime you play with a RACI chart, you play with power. And power is a very sensitive thing. And so when you move a letter and you add a letter, you're messing with power. So what does that mean? So for example, in this case, you have site selection and entitlement, which is a process that you get land under contract. Within this section, you have market selection, market research, unit mix, contract parameters, negotiation, investment committee documents, et cetera. And then you have this thing called the initial triage investment committee. And that's something that this meeting has to happen after all of this and before all of this. So all the answers to all these questions will dictate whether or not you get to go to project concept. And then there's a whole nother series of things. And then there's another meeting and then a whole nother series of things and then another meeting. And this is the final meeting where you decide whether you're gonna go or no go on a given project. And then you start all these other things. So that's just an example, right? So everybody has a different thing. Sometimes you might do this with a marketing process or an operations, and there might be tension and conflict in a given part of your organization, and this can help clear all that up. So what you'll notice is, let's look at site selection, for example. The head of land acquisition is ultimately responsible with, and in this case, this is an error. You should really, whenever humanly possible, you should not have two R's. The rule is that only one R can exist on a given line. And the reason is because you can't have multiple people going out and doing the same thing, unless it's a different project, unless you're cloning roles. Ultimately, what we're saying is this role on this issue has the ultimate responsibility to initiate and ensure that the action is taken. But the land acquisition person doesn't approve it. It's actually the VP of development. They have larger purview of all the moving parts. And so the land guy would not be qualified. That role would not have line of sight to be able to make a final decision. You'd also want that VP of development to consult with construction. So because they may have ideas like, yeah, we've built in the Northwest. And what you don't realize about the Northwest is HVAC issues and all that. And the developer may not know that. And so you have to consult with a construction person before any decision is made. The VP of investment, the VP of operations, they don't need to be involved at all. So, right? So that's just that one line. And we don't have to go through all of this, of course. I'm just giving you examples. So there are some instances where somebody is both responsible for initiating and they're the one who's approving it, and they don't consult with anybody else. They don't even inform anybody else. They just go do the work. And they don't have to ask permission from anybody. So I'll just pause there and see. So you can have as many C's as you want. You can have as many I's as you want. You can only have one R, and you want to have as few A's as humanly possible. There are instances where multiple A's may show up, but for the most part, you want there to be one A whenever humanly possible. But like down here, you can see in the design phase, there are multiple A's that show up, and you sometimes just have to make allowance for that. Okay, so that is the mechanics of a RACI chart. Now I'm going to pause the sharing and I'm just going to talk about how we use it. But before we do, any comments or questions about what this tool is, how it gets used, how it functions?
I did have a question just based on how my team has wanted to interact with this when we were trying to put it together before we kind of took a step back and started actually taking a look at the roles themselves. And so it may be tied to like, do we have the roles right? But the other thing is just, they're looking at this and saying, okay, well, this only gives one single person the opportunity to actually contribute to a project. And so I'm wondering, is the consulted line, could that be consulted or contribute? And that way it's like, okay, we need people to, like I need my two leads to collaborate together on executing something. Like, where would you put that?
Can you be more specific?
Like, we have a, like a OneNote document, for example, that needs to be consistently updated with information coming from the client in terms of like compliance standards or, you know, whatever it might be. And it's a place where all of like the, you know, individual contributors would go for this information. And so the two leads, the functional leads who are like, okay, I'm leading like the commercial team, I'm leading the events team, whatever. Those leads need to collaborate and make sure that anything that's coming in from different areas, you know, that that's updated. So they really have joint ownership of updating that and then communicating that information out to the individual contributors. So something like that, like, you know, what do you do?
Yeah. So what I would say is that's where I'd give two people an A, right? Okay. So like, I'm just looking at this example here. What do we got here? Civil engineering. Both the head of development and the head of construction both need equal authority, equal accountability, equal input. And so that's why they both get an A. One of them gets the R, which means you are ensuring that it gets done. If you give both of them the R, then it's unclear, like, well, who's got to go first and who's doing it? So you need to select one and say, it's your job to be the ultimate one who initiates and ensures this is done. But both of you have the equal authority to input, delete, whatever. And you both have to agree at the end of the day. And if you can't, then you go to one level above you. And that your boss, if it's you, will adjudicate that disagreement. So that's how I would ensure that I'd still pick one, if at all possible, one person to be the R. You could have two R's, but in that case, I'd make it two different lines. So yeah. You might say, like, you know, maybe it's this person needs to put information in that only they have access to that comes from one side of the work project. You'd call right. that out as a separate line that says, I'm responsible for this aspect of updating that document. And then another line that it makes the other person responsible for updating that aspect of the document.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So those are two ways you can.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. In terms of consulted, can we elaborate more on that definition? Because there's also yes. some disagreement on what that means. Like some, basically people above me sort of see that as like, well, I need to be consulted, which means I need to agree that this is going to happen, when really to me, that's like an approval.
That is. Yeah.
Versus so like, I want your input and then I decide what to do with that input. Right.
Yes, so that's exactly right. So if the boss is saying, I want to be the one to decide and you can't make the decision without agreeing with you, then that boss gets the A.
Right.
And the person yeah. who's doing all the work gets the C and the R. So they're like, I'm doing the work, I'm making sure it's happening, I'm being consulted along the way and consultative, but I don't have authority to make the decision.
Right. Okay.
The boss does. And so if the boss is coming to you with that, you'd say, no problem, you get the A. And if they say, well, I don't want the A, then you go, okay, that's fine. Then that just means that you are allowed to consult, but you have to trust them to make that decision. Do you want to do that? Or do you want the decision? You as yep. the boss have the yep. right to take the A. The person below doesn't have the right to just take an A if they don't want. So that's how you ensure the conversation is clear. And that's exactly what you just said is one of the reasons this tool is helpful, because often bosses don't think in very clear terms. They think in very like muddy terms, like, oh, I like that. That's great. You should be empowered. Wait, I don't like that decision. You should bring that back. And you're like, but you told me I could. And now you're saying I can't. Like, yeah, but I didn't like your decision. So now I'm bringing it back. And it's like, nope, that is how you destroy morale in an organization. Part of what a document like this does is it says that all of us, including the boss, subordinate to that agreement outside of ourselves. And we all say yes to that agreement. And then we're all held to account. And that's what I'm going to talk about next, is how you actually implement it. Right. But does that help clarify what you're saying around consultation?
Definitely. I just wanted some language are in terms of how I can communicate that back, so that it's really clear, like, no, this is, because I understand it, but in terms of articulating it, it's a little, I don't know.
And when you're
semantics trying to articulate, in terms of the language, so like, what's the definition of this thing? Like,
the definition of consult is must be consulted before an action is taken, but does not have final say in what the action is.
Right. And it's that part that I think I can add to my document.
Yep. That's a strict definition.
Yep.
And so that hopefully will help.
Yeah. Good. Totally. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you bet. Other comments or questions about this tool?
I know, I like it though.
Great. Okay. All right. So let me pause here and just talk a bit about how to use it. How to, you know, so Allie, it sounds like you're in the process of leading through this change.
Also like actually defining the roles, which I know we've talked about a couple of times, but anyway, sorry.
Yeah, and you're right. You're doing it in the right order, and that you need to spend time defining roles to even know which roles should show up on the RACI chart and which elements they're going to be interacting with. So the role definition is first, then you go into the RACI chart. So that's good. And some organizations have really obvious and clear roles and don't need spend a lot of time on it. And others have very muddy and confused roles and need to spend a lot more time there. So the first thing that happens whenever you do a RACI chart is you want to bring it to a team at about 80% baked. And so if you're the boss, and or if the boss has empowered you to do this, or if you're trying to lead this for your boss, you're going to bring it with your best recommendations to the team. And I recommend you have, whenever possible, what are called, you know, pre-socialized conversations, where you're staging the ascent, where you're saying, hey, this is kind of what we're thinking. Can you take a look at your column and just reflect on it a little bit? This is kind of where we're thinking. I want you to think about it. And you have each person just do a little bit of thinking on their own before they come to the meeting. And you gather everybody together and you say, this is the recommended RACI chart. And you walk them through, here are the implications of what that means. And you let people think about it. You let people debate, and you add A's, you take away A's, you move things around. But all the while, every time you're doing that, you're messing with power. So you want to be sensitive to that for people. Then after you've gotten to the point of an agreement where you go, yep, that RACI chart looks good. Everybody's in alignment. We're going to say yes to this. Then what happens is you say to them, good. Now we're going to try this for 30 days. And in those 30 days, we're going to assume that we're going to make mistakes, that we're not all going to live up to this perfectly. So there's room for us to misunderstand each other, to misunderstand what it means, to make mistakes. And nobody's going to be upset about it because we're all learning together. After 30 days, we're going to get in a room and just make sure one last time, or, you know, get on a call. We're going to make sure one last time. So when you do the first RACI meeting, you set another meeting right then and there for 30 days from that point. You get back together again. You go, okay, everybody, here's the RACI chart we've been trying to live with. How's it been going? You know, in some cases, you might need to go longer than 30 days because the process is longer, but for the most part, 30 days is enough. So it could be 90 days in some cases. So you're going to live with it. You're going to experiment, and you're going to get back in the room. You go like, you know what? We need to refine this. That wasn't clear. I think we need this, that, the other thing. Then you do that. After that, you then say, okay, from this point forward, now we are accountable to this RACI. That means that if we make mistakes, there will be accountability. And we expect this of each other, including me, the boss, or me, whoever. We all are expected to live up to this. And when we don't live up to this, we'll be called out for it. This is the agreement we make, and we secure it. We put it in concrete for at least 6 months, usually a year. And then after 6 months or a year, you revisit the RACI chart if you need to. Often it just problems go away and the RACI is a distant memory and everybody just knows how to operate. But sometimes you'll need to revisit it and go, okay, it's still not working. So that's how you stage the ascent and lead change when you're dealing with RACI charts. You get people involved early. You provide, as the boss, what you think you know needs to happen. And then your job is to keep the boundaries in place. So people are like, well, I need an R2 and I need an R2. And you're like, nope, only one R. Who's going to have it? And like, well, I guess it's that person because of this, or it should be me because of that, or whatever. And then you fight it out. And maybe everybody's like, well, I want an A2. I want an A2. And you go, okay, well, A's are fine, but it's got to be a really good reason why multiple people need an A, because that's where you create bottlenecks. If you have too many A's, you got too many things, you know, jamming up the works. So let's make absolute certain that you need an A. And the way you know you need an A is if you are accountable for the outcome of something. So if you're accountable for the outcome of something and you don't have authority to move it, then there might be a mismatch. Now, I understand there's ultimate accountability for a boss. So in which case a boss might want an A across everything, but that kills a team, right? So the boss needs to know who on your team is going to be held accountable if something fails. Now, you as a boss might be held accountable by your boss, but who on the team is ultimately accountable, they should get the A.
Okay.
Good. All right. So that is the training for today. Now we're going to open it up for comments or questions, coaching questions about anything and everything. You can talk about this tool, talk about tools we've talked about already before, anything that's frustrating you that you want to deal with, or anything you want to be proactive about. And, you know, holidays, sometimes things are slow, so you may not be dealing with too much right now. Depends on what business you're in.
Yeah, so I last call, I kind of, I think there was like 5 minutes left, and I kind of like, hey, here's this can of worms of like, I feel like like I don't, what was my question exactly? I don't remember. I was going to bring the exact conversation, which I know what the conversation was. Anyway, it doesn't matter what we were talking about before, but the conversation, the difficult conversation that I need to have, I feel like I've articulated in my mind what I need to do. And it goes back to that first 90 days thing. Since I'm in my first 90 days, I am reaching, I think I'm almost at the 60 day mark, and I'm kind of like getting rid of holidays and stuff. I'm sorry, I'm rambling. Okay, focus. Basically, I feel like the conversation that I need to have is, here's the value that I have brought to the team. And I feel like I need to have that conversation with like everyone above me, basically. And so what I'm thinking of doing is essentially creating, and I've already started doing this for my boss, but creating a PowerPoint deck of like, here's everything that I have observed. And here's the feedback that I've received from the team. Here are the expectations that were set with me in this role. Here are the ideas that I have to, you know, implement based on all of this information that I've gathered. And then here's what I'm going to do now. And so put that together in a presentation. That's a lot of stuff, but try really hard to get it down to maybe like 15 minutes and then literally record me presenting that deck, or even 10 minutes to kind of run through everything, record me presenting it. And then maybe I can have an appendix if there's a little bit more of a deep dive that I want to do on something. And it's like, okay, you know, if you've listened for this long, thank you. If you want to know more, I'm going to go into a couple more slides and in terms of detail, whatever. And then email that to like the people who I don't normally meet with, but who have expectations of me in this role. So that way it's like, I don't have to put a meeting on their calendar. I don't have to talk with them all one-on-one. I don't need to, you know, maybe there's someone like above even someone that I am normally in touch with, but not meeting one-on-one with, and I can send it to them too. Like, I really want my value to be obvious in this yeah. role. And maybe that's like too intense, but I think it would work really well in the culture of this company. Okay, that's my long kind of rambly spiel that I and have been mulling over basically over the holiday.
Okay.
So it's kind of a question, or like, you know, could I do that? Could I not? Recommendation.
Here's what I'd say. First, yes, obviously you need to do some kind of a presentation like this. The first 90 days bonus has some sort of suggestions for how to structure those conversations and right. how to structure
and I watched that.
Okay, good. So you're all set with that. You got what you need there. The way that I would handle that with you, with the people above you, is I'd first go to your direct boss right. and suggest right. it to the direct boss and let them weigh in. And the reason is because anytime you start sending things around without your direct boss knowing about it, it starts to feel like you're level skipping or going around or things like that. So you want to just say, right. this is what I'm planning to do. How does that sound to you? And then let them weigh in on it.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of my concerns, because I don't want to make it seem like she hasn't done anything, you know?
Yeah.
But that was kind of what I was talking about last time of, I've identified a bunch of gaps that should be coming from my boss, but aren't there. And so this is like my presentation of all of those things. But it's just really tricky. So yeah, I definitely have to go to her first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See how it goes and let us know.
Because the other thing, if I'm being totally honest, is I'm worried about layoffs. Because I've heard a lot of rumors that Microsoft, who's my client, is going to be having layoffs in January, February, March timeframe. So I got to make sure.
Yeah, a little internal PR isn't going to hurt you. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's smart. Plus,
it's literally what they hired me to do. So I want to make sure outside of all of that, that I'm living up to the expectation. And that trust that they've put in me after hiring me, and then otherwise, kind of insulate myself. Cause I could, they've got other clients, like I could work on anything. But obviously want to bring the most value that I can to this particular client right now. So
you're doing the right thing.
That's good. So question then, if my boss is like, wow, this sounds great, I love it. Do you think that format of like pre-recording something to email people is a good tactic? Or do you think that trying to schedule one-on-ones is better, or like a larger meeting with a couple of people to have a discussion? Like, is there any perspective that you have on how to communicate that kind of information in the first 90 days?
How many people?
Maybe like 5.
And of those 5, how many of those are above your boss?
All of them. Or okay. They're like at the same level as her.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think you should make a recommendation to your boss and let your boss determine it.
Okay, of what that would actually look like.
Okay. Yeah. So I'd say, this is what I'm thinking. I think what I'd like to do is, record this, share it with you, and then share a link with others so they have line of sight on what I'm doing. How do you feel about that? Or would you rather I schedule meetings and let her decide?
Right. Okay. What if it was even like, could I present it to her as like, hey, I want to show my value, but I also want to make sure that it's clear that you and I are collaborating on this. Could we present anything together, or would that diminish my direct contribution and value if there are things that I'm seeing her not doing that I think?
The first thing I would say is I wouldn't call out that I'm doing this to show my value.
Totally.
I would call out and say, I'm doing this so that people have line of sight on the things that I'm seeing and working on.
Yep.
And that way they can weigh in if they feel they need to, but it's meant to just inform so they have line of sight.
Totally.
And then you share that with your boss, and then your boss can effectively help you decide.
Okay. So ultimately just get her buy-in and defer to. What if she's like, this is a terrible idea? I don't think you should do any of this. I don't think she will, but.
Yeah, you just might ask, okay, that's helpful to understand. Can you give me a sense for why that is?
Okay.
What's your concern with sharing this information? If she's like, people are super busy, they won't have time for this, they don't want to be bothered by this, this is not where they're worried about, they're trusting that things are happening. All it's going to do is distract and take time from them, not add value to their work. Then you go, okay. And I'll make sure you're aware.
Okay.
There's a fine line between making sure your bosses and influencers have awareness of the value you create and just being kind of annoying, like,
totally.
Let me tell you about my day and everything that I did in it. And they're just like, it's why I hired you, so you can go do that and I don't have to think about it, so I can do the things that I have to do. So that there's a fine line. You definitely have to have visibility. You definitely have to have your own internal PR. You just have to do it with some skill. And usually, right, assuming you have a generally goodwill boss, they can help you identify the best way to do that, because they'll be way more familiar with the politics at that level.
Yeah. And she has been incredibly helpful and supportive. So I'm not expecting that.
And I would trust her. I would trust her.
And just so it's, I mean, maybe this is obvious, but just so it's clear, when I'm talking to you, I'm saying, like you, Shane, I'm saying, I want to highlight my value. But when I go to them, like, I'm going to say, here is what I've observed. Here is what I think is going to be best for the team. Here is what the team, like, I mean, I have to put together the presentation, but it's going to be all about, like,
it's very simple.
The value very of the simple. Team.
It's very simple. You are saying, I want you to have line of sight on my thinking and my recommendations, and I want you to have input on how I do my work next. This is what I've seen. This is what I'm working on, and I want to make sure that I should continue doing that. And you present it to your boss first, and then your boss will determine, and you'll say, are there others who should weigh in on this? Here are the people I'm thinking of. I'm wondering if I should send it to them. And your boss may say, don't worry about sending it to them. I got you. This is great. Keep going. Or they might say, actually, only two people need to see this and understand and give input to what you're doing.
Okay.
It's about line of sight and giving input. That's it.
Okay.
And Ali, I can come back to you. I just want to make sure I open it up for others, and then we'll come back
to you.
Thank you. Okay? Yeah, you bet.
Go ahead.
Anybody else have anything they want coaching around or want to talk through?
I'm just trying to figure out how we would use a program called Trello, kind of in the same way, but getting my team to use it, because they're doing the task anyway, but I don't, being the boss or the owner, I may not want to make decisions, but I want to, or if I say, ask them to do something, I want to trust them that it's done. And they don't have to come back and tell me it's done, but I'd like to be able to figure out a way to know that it's being done. Because a lot of times that I put stuff into Trello and assign it to someone, or like our admin assistant, I have to go back and ask them, what are you at with that project? With that, and it's usually 30, 45 days in. I'm trying to, I'm not sure how to make them say, hey, or even if I put deadlines on it, there's deadlines are getting missed too. So I'm not sure where to go. Jessica, Debbie, do y'all want to chime in on that? Crickets.
Sorry, I was unmuting myself. I mean, I think Trello is a great system, and I think that we have a great system in place. I just think that we have not gotten into the habit of using it the best way. Like how we go into our email every day, like it hasn't become that second nature, I guess. And I don't know how to make that the best, like, as second nature is going into my email. But I like the system that we have. And I feel the same way. Like if I delegate and then I just don't hear anything, then I'm concerned. So I completely agree with you. And I'm definitely one of those people that is not as good at using Trello as I should be.
Okay. So one thing that I'm planning to go deeper into at a later group call, it deals with some of this. And I think I'm going to give you a little bit of a highlight here for just a second. Trello is a good tool. Asana is a good tool. These are good tools that are more kind of workflow tools, but they're not the same thing as what I call performance management tools. They're not as effective at that. And let me try to give an example of that. There are lots of different tools that do this. This is one that I'm going to show you now that's called 15-5. Lattice is another one. Office Vibe is another. There's lots of different ones, but 15-5 is one that I know. And here's why this can be more effective than what you're describing. So The first thing I would say is, like, when you look at a company, first thing we do is we establish objectives and key results. Do you guys manage by OKRs? Do you know that system?
No, but I do know about KPIs.
Yeah, KPIs are a little different than OKRs, and here's how. KPIs really are related to just ongoing perpetual things that are benchmarks that people need to hit no matter what. Objectives and key results are time-bound things you're hitting that count down over time, and then they usually end and they complete and you reset a new key result or a new objective. So the way that an objective and an OKR works is your objective is the high-level aspirational thing you're aiming for, and then you have quantifiable key results that support that objective. So for example, we have here the company-wide, this is another company I was working with, the company-wide objective is build a sustainable runway to fulfill our mission. Another company objective is to create and scale a talent magnet team where people thrive. Another one is they want to free more people from hazardous and mundane tasks. They're an AI robotics company and they help with assembly line work. They want to make our product more efficient to build and sell. So these are the big aspirational things, the four big things that everybody in that entire company is working towards. Now, the way you get there is after you have company-wide objectives, you then create departmental objectives that support any one of these. Before you get there, though, you have key results. So if you click on this, you can see they want to raise $30 million by the end of 2023. And they want to establish at least $4.3 million of recurring revenue by the end of 2023. These two key results are how you achieve this objective. So that's the OKR, objective key result. Create and scale a talent magnet team. They want to achieve 95% employee retention, and they want to increase employee engagement scores over a benchmark. Free more people from hazardous and mundane tasks. They want to deploy the Osara solutions and at least six new use cases or customers by the end of 2023. And the last one is at least $140,000 in cost of goods sold, and from purchase order to deployment needs to be under 4 months. That's how we know that our product is more efficient to build and sell. So now you have four big buckets with metrics that you can then link and have people own in a system like this. And the reason that becomes so important, and the way then you go, okay, that's a new system, I got to learn a new system. What happens is you have check-ins and one-on-ones. And when you go into a check-in using, it's not set up in their company yet, we're still too early. When you go and set up a check-in or you have a one-on-one with your manager, every time you go in before the one-on-one, you see the team member's goal, their key results, and the progress bar on how far along they are on that. And you use this in every weekly conversation so that both you and the team member are going in before the one-on-one and adding whatever data you need to, so that when you're meeting on a regular basis, every action they're taking is linking back to automatically these overarching big objectives. And there's lots of ways that this can get used. It's a lot more complicated. I mean, not complicated. There's a lot more involved. It's fairly simple. But it gives you an example of maybe Trello can do some of this, but not at anywhere near the same level. Then you can also link performance reviews to this. So as you go through, you can link each employee with their objectives and their performance on those objectives, and then their performance review is based on that. So that is the one of the best ways that I've ever found to maintain visibility on things like work, how you're working against the objectives. Are you behind? Are you on time? What's expected of you? So each of these key results, when somebody comes in and the CEO raises $10 million, this will show up as $10 million, and it'll say, you know, 30% of the way achieved to this goal. And because we're only 30% way through the year, you're on track. But if you're at 10 million and you're at November, you're now at risk. You're way behind. And so it tells you it's way behind. And so because you get the red line instead of the green line, you can go to anybody and say, hey, you're way behind. So that's an example of a tool you can use that is that allows for better integration because it's part of your weekly one-to-ones where everybody knows, oh, I got to have this meeting, so I better look at this thing versus like, here's a Trello board and you just need to go remember to go back to it. So that's how you kind of integrate accountability with objectives, performance. Lots of tools like it. You don't have to use 15.5. Like I said, Lattice is another one. So many, I can't even name them all, but so I'll pause there. Does that?
It does for certain things, but I'm meeting something like when we onboard new clients. Things fall to the ground. When I do it myself, I can bring on a client within a week. Since organizing and assigning people, it's taking a month, 2 months, sometimes, and reminding them, have you followed up with the contracts? Have you done this? Have you done that? So that's more my, for example, we've been trying to get pictures of all of our staff so that we can create team emails with their pictures for our clients because they're assigned certain clients. And we tasked our admin assistant to do this. She is responding. She is emailing the employees. I told her today because they're due by this Friday. I said, I want you to email each individual person who has not responded to you and CC me on that email before end of day. Well, it didn't happen. Well, she's got 12 minutes. Debbie, Jessica, you better not chatter. I've got 12 minutes before that email, but it's just, I hate to say this. It feels like as an owner or boss, it feels like I'm just waiting for her to fail because I've had that expectation not met, even though I thought that we had set them clearly. Again, I guess it breaks to communication. I don't know.
It's for sure related to communication, and it's related to how you follow up on those things. So some of these things, by the way, can be integrated into that kind of a system. So for example, you'll notice that one of the key results of that company was how fast it takes to get a robot deployed in a new customer. And they were taking 6 months, and they know they don't have to take 6 months. They need to get it done in 4 months. And because that key result is now listed, and certain people's, it actually shows up on their profile in their work, and they get checked in on regularly. Now you have awareness. Everybody's aware that 4 months, I got to think about 4 months. How do I get that down to 4 months? What do I need to be thinking about to get that down to 4 months? So it's a performance management tool, and there are different ways to do it. You can use spreadsheets. You can use other things. You don't have to use that kind of a tool, but you do have to have something that everybody's looking at. So whether that's in your weekly tactical meetings, where you have scorecards and dashboards that people are showing you progress reports, how many, by what point have been achieved, and then the meeting itself holds them accountable, which you will...
That instead of me asking them, I should be holding weekly meetings and they should be telling me where they're at with their information, with their tasks.
And next week, I'm going to walk you through exactly how to do those weekly tactical meetings so that there's more engagement, more accountability, and more efficiency. And the meetings themselves build in an accountability feature that everybody's accountable to. It's not even personal anymore. Everybody's accountable to this conversation. And you've got to come to a place of agreeing on what are the dashboards. So I just showed you a tool that you can pay for that will help you automate and create dashboards for you, or you can create them on your own, or you can have them create them in the form of Excel. You know, you can build kind of rough in Excel spreadsheets where you're just showing people like, I need you to fill this out every week. And when you come to the meeting, we're going to, one portion of the meeting is everybody goes around and reports on and shares their performance. How are you doing against these objectives? What's the scorecard? What's the dashboard? And then you go, okay, based on what I'm seeing, here's the thing we need to talk about next. And we'll go into detail on that next week.
Okay. No, that's going to be
But I do helpful. Think there's several, you know, for you, Davia, there's several different things that you're going to tackle, and all of them will contribute in different ways. So last week it was how to have performance conversations. That was one part of what will help you if you get good at that. Second part of what might help you is how you have weekly tactical meetings. Another part that might help you is which tool is being used how. So if you can find a way to use Trello that way, great. Make use of it, but you integrate it as a part of regular rituals that everybody has to check in with. Otherwise, it doesn't happen.
Right.
So weekly one-on-one check-ins is a great place to ritualize that check-in so that when you're meeting, you're checking in on the very artifact that you've created together. And weekly meetings for with the whole team is another great place to ritualize how performance unfolds.
That sounds, it's exciting. I just wish I was already there.
Yes, you know? I get it. And I'll tell you that I think one of the best places for you to start is going to be understanding, and I want you to think through this now, what kinds of dashboards do you need to see? What kind of scorecard do you need to see from people? So a dashboard is, there's a certain kind of information that is going to impact my decision-making. Then there's all kinds of information that doesn't impact my decision-making. So you don't need information that doesn't impact decision-making. So it's worth you as the boss sitting down and going, okay, I need this information from this group of people. I need this information from this group of people, and I need it on this cadence. So when I get that from them and I give them the tool that they can input the data in, and they know that every single Tuesday at 10:30 a.m., we're all meeting to discuss those spreadsheets, those dashboards, then they're accountable for having them filled out. And once I see them, and it may take a few weeks, a few, even a month or two, to get them figuring out how to get the data right, how to put it in on the right time to get it, to make sure it's the right cadence for you. But that is a pretty critical part of operating a business.
I think that would help a lot, honestly. And to note, she is sending out the emails right now. So I was jumping the gun. That's the way I've been feeling that I've got to.
You're feeling that a lot in part because you don't have systems that hold people accountable. You have yourself that does it. And you shouldn't, no individual, including Jessica, shouldn't be the one holding people accountable. You can install built-in rituals, regular reoccurring events that take place where you set a set of tasks that have to happen leading up to that ritual, and then you enact it. And that's what a meeting is, weekly tactical meetings. And that's what one-to-ones are. That's what check-ins are. There's different techniques you can use, but all of them are designed to monitor and keep people accountable to performance.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. So who else has anything they want to check in on?
So where can we find like these dashboards and the OKR templates or something like that to get us started?
So, there aren't really very many templates out there because every business is so unique.
Right.
So what you've got to figure out is what are the things that matter in my business? What am I aiming for? Okay. And it's important to make a distinction between key results, like those things that I need to achieve by a certain time, and key performance indicators. A key performance indicator, classic one, is like a conversion rate in a marketing funnel. Like the conversion rate has to be at least 20% or at least 3%. If it's anything less than 3%, something's broken. We need to fix it. And then it needs to hold there indefinitely. That's what a KPI is. So you need to figure those out. What are those things we know we need? We need this much enrollment. We need this many dollars. This is what's going on. But then you have key results, which are connected to goals. So I want to hire this many teachers by this date. Okay, that's your key result. But what's the big objective you're trying to do? What's the bigger, more inspirational thing you're trying to? Oh, I want to expand or double our business to change the lives of kids.
Right.
Okay, great. That's the objective. How are you going to do that? I need to hire a certain number of teachers.
Right.
We need X number of students by this date. We need the process of enrollment to be cut in half from 30 days down to 2 weeks. How are we going to work towards that? And so once you establish all those things, you can use, like I said, 15.5 is a tool that people use that if you just have people inputting data and setting the right things up, it'll automatically dashboard for you. It'll show you a little progress bar. It'll show you whether it's green, yellow, red. It'll show you what percentage you're at completion. And then it helps you have line of sight on what everybody's working on and how they're doing on all the things they're working on. And then if you see a red somewhere, you can go, oh, that's at risk. I wonder what, you know, let's go double click on that and find out who that is and what's happening and why it's at risk. So that the other way to do it is like Excel spreadsheets. You know, so there are things like that. But like, I would say, certainly in your case, Renee, given that technology is not an area of passion for you, I would say assign this to somebody for whom they can learn it.
That's usually what I do.
Yeah. So I would say, hey, can you go investigate 15.5 and see if it aligns with how we run our business? Okay. You know, if you don't have OKRs, if you don't have an objective series of objectives with key results, it's time to start building those. You know, yeah,
I think we need to have that. So, okay. So I understand that now. So
good.
That I do have.
And then what you can do is you can say, okay, so you saw one of those objectives was build a sustainable runway. That's company-wide. The CEO owns that objective. Mm-hmm. But within that, there's different departments. There's engineering, there's software, there's sales. They would then be asked, each head of that department would be asked, what goal do you have, objective do you have that will contribute to that?
Right.
Okay. So they might say, increase the customer base. Great. What are the key results of increasing the customer base? And they may not all have all the goals, right? They may only be able to influence one of the main objectives, but you create then a department objective. And then out of that, you create individual objectives. What does Shane need to do today, this quarter, this year, to move the needle on this goal that goes to that objective up there? What am I? And now you're linking my daily tasks to this overarching theme. And there are certain tools that just automate that for you, that allow you to see that and link it automatically. And that's what 15.5 and others like it do. And the cost of 15.5, depending on which level you get, can be anywhere from $8 a month per person to $14 a month per person. So it's $5,000 a year, $6,000 a year, but it can create massive efficiencies in the way that you run a business.
Okay.
And get visibility.
Okay.
Good.
Yep, I'm good.
Other questions?
Not a question, but Renee, it sounds like you already have OKRs. But I actually developed a continuous improvement process that aims at defining OKRs and then specific actions to take against that. If anyone is interested, I'm kind of wanting to shop it around and see how much people enjoy it, so, or hate it.
Yeah. If you want to share it with me, I would totally like to look at it.
Shane, I don't know, or Cecilia,
if you can drop an email in the chat. Drop your email or your phone number or whatever you want to be connected in the chat.
Yeah, if anyone wants to email me, acp829@gmail.com. I have a PowerPoint presentation that walks through really specific steps on how to do this.
Okay. If you want to share it with me, I'm happy to share it with everybody in the group, whatever, if that's easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. I was considering sending it to you and seeing what you thought of it too. It just hasn't come up yet.
Yeah, cool. Happy to look at it. Happy to look at it, and I can share it with the team.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Okay.
Great.
Right.
Anything else on this holiday week that you all want to check in on, talk about?
It's just been so crazy. I thought this would actually be some time to relax.
It's been busy for you, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like family stuff, kids, all that. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to get back into this.
Not
always relaxing. Exactly.
I think for us, I don't know about Jessica and Debbie, it's our work is kind of slowed down. But now the things that we put off that are like little bitty fires are coming through that we didn't address earlier. or we thought maybe we had or whatever. So I don't know about, I haven't really had a chance to talk to Debbie and Jessica about it this much today, but it just seems like I've just been finally fixing things and I'm frustrated at myself for putting it off. You know,
it's good to take a break. I think it's good to take a little bit of break, because then I think when you go back to it, some things come clear. So I think that's good.
I agree.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Too.
You might be a little too hard on yourself. Was that Davia talking? I think it was.
It was.
Yeah. You might be a little hard on yourself.
I always am, but I have started and encouraging my staff too that if they need us, they usually just chat us. And we may have 15, 20 chats open, you know, because we have group chats, we have all this. So we've encouraged them, not encouraged them. I finally just put my foot down. If you want me, you need to email me. Or two, you need to set up a meeting with me on my calendar so you have my direct attention. And I'm encouraging when people come to me and they need to get with Debbie or Jessica, don't chat or email them, set them up a meeting. You know, the next day, give them 15 minutes and invite them. If they can come, they will. If they can't, they will give you an alternative time, and at least you'll get your answers, you know. Because we get questions all day long and we just can't. We need to build teams that are self-sufficient, and that's what we're working for. We're hoping for, right. I think.
Yeah.
Jessica, yeah. Any thoughts or anything? I keep dragging her in. I do this too in regular meetings.
No, I agree. I definitely agree with you that this week, like practice wise, has definitely been a little bit slower. So it's felt nice to catch up on things, just little things. But yeah, no, I definitely think that I get overwhelmed with the amount of chats just because everyone thinks that Davia or myself or Debbie are the only people who can answer any sort of question. And so encouraging them to work with their teams more before they even come to one of us has really felt nice. I've seen a lot of communication that I haven't put myself in, but I've seen it going on in the background in the chats and stuff, just with different teams. That has felt really nice. And then if they do need me, I hold a daily meeting, just a Google Meet meeting where they can get in. And, you know, sometimes I sit there and I just work on my stuff because nobody shows up. And, you know, normally I have people in there and I can handle a problem right away. And so that's felt really nice this week.
It's great.
I agree. I think that the chats have been a lot this week, but it does feel like we're getting stuff accomplished and set up and ready to close out for the year.
Nothing's ever felt this past week of this past month, even when we've lost personnel, it's not felt like the end of the world. It's kind of like, okay, we're just going to get it done now. It's so that's a different shift for us. It's always been, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Or run and hire. And we've lost two people and we've just taken it on, but it's not been as a dumpster fire, it seems like, because we have more of a pulse or finger on what's going on by doing audits, spot audits. So that's been really nice. And plus it seems like our team is more cohesive, you know. Having 22 women working together is a feat in itself.
It is.
Good. Okay. Well, we can close out our time unless anybody has any other questions or comments. We'll close out a little early since we're in the holidays. That's all right. Give you a little time back. We will look forward to seeing you all next week. The same time, same channel. We'll see you then. Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you, Shane. I appreciate it.
Happy holidays.
Bye, Shane. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.